Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. As the world seems to get darker, and we see more and more stuff going on as the two cultures in our society get farther apart, it turns into more of a war, and it's just getting pretty ugly out there. And we're approaching a very hot and heavy political season, and a lot of people are really angry about all of that, including some Christian folks. And in fact, we were just talking about our friend on a zoning commission. If you hold a biblical worldview, if you believe the Bible's true, you're a bigot. That's what it's down to today. Okay, so what happens to us is we kind of get afraid and we start protecting ourselves. We start withdrawing into our little groups. Do you know how ugly it is when the Church of Jesus withdraws within their walls? I was at a church dinner, not this one. I couldn't be at this one. And it's a real closed group of people that are afraid of the world. Okay, they're afraid of the real world. They are the goofiest group of people. I mean, they're just odd folks, man. We get afraid and we withdraw. But God has not given us the spirit of fear, right? But of power, right? And a sound mind. We can live in the real world. If anybody knows how to live in the real world, it should be a believer. But this culture that's happening, I see Christians everywhere wanting to withdraw from it. This is not the time to withdraw. But you get tired and you start seeing those people as the enemy. We only have one enemy. His name is Satan. The devil himself is our enemy, not people that he's duped. They're not enemies. Those are people that need Jesus, man. And when we get tired and we get afraid, we start demonizing those people. They're evil, right? We start demeaning those people. They're all idiots, right? Yeah. And also, we start being dismissive. They have no value. You know, if you're doing that with people now, is that how you're starting to see some people that don't agree with you? You need to take some rest, and you need to take a few walks with Jesus, and let him give back to you the love he has for the whole world. Now, it's just brief today, but I want to say this. Jesus saw people that did not agree with him or know him in a certain way. I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 6. I want you to see verse 34. Mark chapter 6, verse 34. I want you to see this. So these people didn't live the way that they should have, right? They weren't going in the directions that they should have gone. But when Jesus saw them, he didn't say, "What a crowd of losers. If only they were in my political party." He didn't say any of that stuff. He saw them, and something happened to him in Mark 6, 34. It says, when Jesus landed, came off a boat, he saw a large crowd. He had compassion on them. Now, why did he have compassion on them? Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. Do you know sheep are the most helpless animal in the universe? If they're not protected, they're going to be destroyed, right? Jesus saw this crowd of people and saw they had no leader. They had no protector. People just are living out there without the Lord. What would you do without your faith? What would you do without what you believe and what you know about Jesus? What a lost world yours would be if it wasn't for him. And this is what these guys are experiencing. They have no shepherd. Jesus saw them and his heart was moved. With compassion, he yearned for them. He longed for them to have a shepherd and to be helped. You know, Psalm 23 gives us the entire depiction of what sheep need. You know, they won't even drink from water that's moving. They have to be led along the still waters, so they get afraid and run away. And people everywhere today are running in abstract fear. Ricky Skaggs, he was playing a casino. I know, for those of you self-righteous, you think that's terrible. Gambling and drinking. Well, he wasn't gambling or drinking, okay? He was playing music, and wherever they ask him to go play, he goes play. His guitar player told me this story. He said that Ricky got up with his mandolin, and he simply played this song, "Are You a Stranger to God, Running in Your Fear? Tell me, sinner, do you ever stop and think, are you afraid to die?" And the whole place stopped. This young man told me nobody in that casino breathed until that song was over. You want to know why? Because they were sheep without a shepherd. Jesus knows it, and people so long for it. And our kindness and our love and our attempt at understanding is such a beautiful thing for people who don't know Jesus. Don't turn into the church lady on me, please. Don't do that. All people are so valuable. They're like sheep without a shepherd. My brother, the rich one, we went for a walk up north when we were up there, you know, at the mansion on the lake. And we were doing what old guys do when you've had a long walk. We cut through everybody's yard to not have to walk much farther. So we're cutting through neighbor's yards. And the neighbor came out, hey, what are you doing? And we're talking. And the three cutest little girls you've ever seen come out, his granddaughters. And, you know, they're all holding their little animals and all this. They've got their little dresses on. They're so dang cute. Or as my little niece, Melina, in Switzerland, she's learned stinking cute. That's what she, oh, stinking cute. When you say that with a German accent, it's even cuter. But they were so stinking cute, and we're talking to them, and their mother comes out, okay? A woman in her early 30s, you know. She's coming out, we're talking, and the youngest one, I just can't stand it. I said, how old are you? She said, 7. And so I asked all little girls what I ask at that age. I said, are you married yet? I'm not married. I'm only 7. So my brother Jerry, who has to get in on the thing, he goes, well, you got any boyfriends yet? And the mother says, how about girlfriends? You got any girlfriends? And she says, Mom, I'm a girl. I don't want girlfriends. Well, Mama's got girlfriends. Mama's got lots of girlfriends. And my heart broke. Here is this child abuse going on of this sweet little thing, like a sheep without a shepherd. Our hearts should break, all right? That was the response of Jesus. His heart broke. Second of all, here's something else in Luke chapter 19. Trust me, I'll just read it to you. As he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and he wept over it. And he said, if you, even you, had only known on the day, on this day, what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes, and the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground. When Jesus saw people, his heart broke and his tears fell. Now, when he saw Jerusalem, he wept over the city because he, being God, could see the future. And he knew what was going to happen to them because of their rejection of him. Our tears should fall when we see them, when we interact with them. It broke his heart. This doesn't end well. Don't do this. Tears have power. My buddy Steve was a terrible, he's a PhD now. But Steve was a terrible student. He was at best C- student. He was terrible. And he was in a history class, and his history teacher in high school, at the end of a class, said, Stephen, stay after class. That's never a good sign. And this woman, after everyone had cleared, walked up to his desk and put his paper in front of Steve that he had written, and it had red marks all over it. And he's looking down at his paper, and she says, Stephen, you can do so much better than this. He'd heard that his whole life. He never measured up. But something happened. He looked up. And she was crying. And he said to me, Tommy, those tears changed my life. Those tears wanted me to learn what she knew. Those tears had such power in my life, more than anybody's words of demeaning and telling me I was wrong or stupid, changed my life. One of his PhDs is in history. Interesting, isn't it? Let me tell you something. Your broken heart and your genuine tears, instead of dismissing and demeaning and demonizing other people that disagree with you, your broken heart and your tears has such power in their lives. And that's why Satan wants to steal that from us. So, that's how we should see the lost. You know how we should see ourselves? I'll give you one more. These are the words of Jesus. This is Matthew chapter 13 and verse 16. He's talking to the boys, that's the disciples. And he says to them in verse 16 of Matthew 13, you ready for this? Blessed are your eyes because they see. Blessed are your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see but did not see it, or to hear what you hear but did not hear it. Do you understand how fortunate we are? We have no clue. The fact that the Spirit of God came to you and took the words of the scriptures and applied them to your heart so that you could understand that Jesus died for you. And in your mind, he gave you this picture of Jesus on the cross. And suddenly you had this ability to believe that he had died for you and that it was for you and you could have it if you only trusted in him. You think you worked that up? You think you were smart enough to figure that out? No way. We're all dumb as a brick. We are. It was the enlightening of God himself that made your eyes see and your ears hear. You could have never gotten it had he not done it. So when you see people that don't have it, you be grateful that you do and you remember where you were. And instead of being haughty, you be humble. You know what sharing the gospel is with people? It's put very simply. I don't know who said it originally. Everybody says it now. It's one beggar telling another beggar where they found bread. You know, you guys are always so generous here. You guys always give to people in need. Because of that, people who are in need talk about it. The people in that needy community say, I tell you what, those people at that church helped me, so they all show up here wanting help because they all talk, right? Well, we're kind of the same beggars. We're the same needy people. We didn't earn this. We didn't buy this. We weren't cute enough. We weren't smart enough. It was given to us as a gift because we were lost sinners. So we should be telling other poor, starving people where the bread is. My dad and mom, years ago, when I saw my friend Nancy, she's a dear little lady, about 90 years old now. She reminds me of my mother because she's classy and kind. But what a great combination, right? Doesn't get any better than that. But anyhow, mom and dad used to take trips a lot. They went to Europe a bunch of times to see my brother and the wife and kids and all of that. But of this one trip that my dad hated was to South America, to an all-inclusive resort. He said he got there, and at night they drove to the resort from the airport so he didn't see the poverty of that place. But in this resort, they had very high walls with razor wire and very big security guards with weapons. And my dad said he was playing at the golf course, and he's getting ready to hit a drive. He's lining up a drive at Tita's ball, and the fence was over here, and he could hear the cries of the children begging. And these muddy, starving children were begging. And he said, Tom, after about the third hole of this, he said, I was having flashbacks of my five-year-old self in the Depression in Missouri, starving to death on a sharecropper's farm. He said, I took every piece of money I had and I gave it away. And for the rest of the days that he was there, he would get 100 or 200 singles every day at the resort to have in his pockets to give to those children. About the last day he was playing, he heard someone say in Spanish, there he is, right? They were all on it. They were lining up. He's handing money. He said, I could. And he said to my mother, don't you ever book something like that again. I can't take it. Here we are living on the Christian reservation, living in the Christian resort where we know how the world came about, who God is, why we're here, why we were lost, how he found us, how he gives us gifts to live this life, how we have his protection and have no reason to fear. And everybody is living on the other side of that barrier, dying. Don't you hate them. Don't you demean them. They're doing their best, and I know it's not very good. But our job is to love them. Our job is to show them the love of God. So I don't mean to beat you up about it today, but I'm getting a little tired of myself. As I get older, I get more of a curmudgeon. I like my routine. I don't like people interrupting me. And I don't like this about me. Give your life away. They need us. That's why we're here. You think about that. Let's stand together to pray, shall we? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, would you help us? Because your view of those dear ones is so different than our cynical view of those dear ones. Help us. Please give us strength. Please give us your heart and your mind. Give us your eyes. Give us your hands that we might bless this world and help these lost ones. Father, thank you for your people. Thank you for our time together today. We ask for your blessing. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service.
We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.